Sheffield.
Have you heard? The local talent show is now on every Friday, 4 till 5. Sheffield is absolutely brimming over with singer-songwriters, bands, musicians, amazing talent, and we're going to showcase exactly what they can do. That's on the local talent show, Fridays 4 till 5, here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Dawn? You know what? I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3 here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield. Made by you.
This is Communities Live.
Because at that time the housing was cheaper.
I know it's not a big city centre, but there's still quite a few shops. I quite like it.
Dog and Partridge on Trippitt Lane every other Thursday.
I love the green room just for like acoustic nights.
This is Communities Live.
It's a very big question, isn't it?
We have a diverse society in Sheffield.
I like all the art sculptures.
It's friendly, there's a lot to do.
I really like the Peace Gardens. I like all the little fountains and little areas that you can just sit out and chill in.
Sheffield is a very nice city.
This is Communities Live.
I love Sheffield, yes. Love it. Been here 17 years.
I like Sheffield because the people are very friendly.
This is a large student community, so it makes it like very lively, very vibrant city in that regard, and also very multicultural, no?
And we love the Sheffield people.
Everything, the city, the nature, the outside of Sheffield. It's lovely. Great place.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Communities Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and we have a couple of interviews for you today. But starting off, we have M&S Panini stickers, and we have expert collector Greg Lansdowne. Here is the interview. And we have Panini expert here, Greg Lansdowne. Good afternoon.
Hello, Chris. Thanks a lot for having me on.
So thank you for joining me today. So I've got to ask you this before we get into it. What made you interested in collecting Panini stickers?
Well, I was lucky that I had an older brother who was also into his football, and he collected as a younger child, and he decided that it's as a rite of passage, he should get me into it. So that was 1979 with Panini's Football 79, and I loved it so much that I've pretty much been collecting ever since, and it never loses its fascination for me.
And you know, I mean, I've been reading this, and it's quite incredible actually, but it is one of the top 10 in playground games for both parents and children.
Yeah, this is the research carried out by Marks and Spencer's for the launch of today's Panini albums. And it's, as you say, number seven in the 80s, number seven now. You look at some of the other activities and they've completely gone out of fashion, or some of the ones from today, children in the 80s had never heard of. But so it just shows that even in this technology-driven age, here we are still talking about Panini stickers. And I would never have believed when I collected my first album, Panini Football 79, that I'd be on radio stations talking about how great it is.
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, like you say, with today's technology, with video games and iPads, and to say that Panini stickers is still quite popular, it's incredible.
It is. And I think one of the things that makes it stand out from other pastimes is that you could be part of a community when you're collecting, and it's not just the collecting, it's the swapping and being part of that group. And a lot of games can just be solitary pastimes, or if you are doing them, you're doing them with someone potentially hundreds of miles away on a computer game. But when it comes to collecting, yes, you can do it online, especially if you're older where you have no school playground. But if you're younger, you can do it at school at lunchtime and breaks, and then go home, and hopefully your parents might have brought you another packet or two, and then you see what you get. And then the next day you come in with a fresh number of swaps. And, you know, as far as my school time was concerned, playing football and collecting Panini stickers and swapping during the breaks and lunchtime was what made it for me, far more than the lessons.
I mean, I remember when I was younger, but I know it's a completely different thing. It's like when the Pokemon trading cards came out, they were very popular at the day, and people always wanted to swap shinies for another shiny. I mean, and does that still happen now?
Yeah, well, in the Marks and Spencer's album, there are two glitter stickers and 12 special shiny stickers as part of the 50 collection. And I'm sure those ones, when you open a packet and you see a shiny, you always say, oh, wow, this is something special. And the way they're produced is fantastic as well. The design and the quality that comes into them. When you've got doubles, you don't necessarily want to put them on your as part of your swaps. You want to maybe put them in on your school book or your bedpost, and sometimes they can stay there for years.
And, I mean, 1 in 10 parents still collect football stickers during major tournaments. I mean that's got to be, that's phenomenal as well.
Oh, it is, yeah. And that's just the 1 in 10 who admit to it. So there's obviously a lot more who claim that they're just collecting with their children, but in reality, they're more into it than their children. And I'm sure with this M&S album today, you're going to get a lot of people purchasing, shopping in stores, but wanting to get over the £20 mark so they can get their packet of stickers.
And I mean, a lot of people also are now get their first experience of entrepreneurialism. So it's more, so it's like, are they taking it more down more business, more like a business way now, do you feel?
Nothing has changed in that respect. What they're getting at is that when you have your swaps and you do your negotiations, obviously there are different ways that you can try to get more stickers out of the person you're swapping with. So the average that was discovered was that for every shiny you can get three normal stickers. But if you drive a hard bargain and you know that somebody wants a sticker in particular, you could potentially get 10 stickers or 20 stickers for one sticker. And that is, obviously, we end up negotiating for many things over the years. But that is where people can say that they started to drive a hard bargain with people.
What do you feel is the most rarest sticker that you've collected so far?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have the rarest sticker that exists, which is Diego Maradona's first Panini sticker. If I had that, then I'd be quids in. In terms of what I have, I would say I've got Mike Tyson's. We're not going into football now. This is a multi-sports album, and I've got I got one of his first stickers. We call it Rookies from the 80s, and that is worth, if you were to go on websites and look at the value for that, that's actually worth quite a lot of money because there weren't many boxing stickers produced, and obviously he's one of the all-time greats. But at the time, you don't realise what's worth something. It's only 20, 30, 40 years down the line that you discover that, oh, actually, this was his first sticker, so this is worth a lot of money now. And even 10 years ago, the value of stickers was a lot smaller than what it is now. So everything seems to have exploded. A lot of it was caused by the pandemic because people had time on their hands and they were going into their lofts and uncovering all these cards and stickers that they'd forgotten they'd had. And so that gave people time to sort through and realise what gems they potentially had.
I mean, it's quite shocking, really. I mean, like you say, because when you don't look at it when you first buy it, you don't realise how valuable they are until, like you say, later in life. And then, I mean, I always remember this. I mean, I was watching a programme that one of the trading cards with Pokemon. And if I remember right, I think it was a shiny Charizard. And that was going for almost £100,000. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, as I say, when I wrote my first book about Panini stickers nearly 10 years ago, it was very popular, but just in terms of trying to finish an album. 10 years down the line, there's a new strand which has come from America because it's been like this in America for 30, 40, 50 years in terms of they were less worried about finishing a set. They were more concerned by getting rare cards or stickers, as the case may be. And that is now the case for a lot of people who are into the hobby. They don't feel the need to complete. That's more for the kids. That's their focus. But in terms of a lot of adults, they want to get a sticker that could potentially be worth hundreds of thousands of pounds. A Lionel Messi's one of one sticker from the last World Cup sold for over $100,000. So it's like a Willy Wonka's golden ticket chase. We have that extra strand these days in collecting.
And I mean, my final question for you, because we are quickly running out of time, is where do you see Panini stickers going in the near future?
Well, just with today's Marks and Spencer's launch, for example, they're going down a different route. This album is slightly different to where we go with the standard tournament or Premier League albums, because you've got tips from players about how to play the game and how to eat well. So there's a greater element of education to this album. And as I always say, there always is an educational way to look at the albums, because it helps with your maths and your geography and your negotiating. And it never ends. So there's I think the magic of Panini stickers is that 60 years down the line, the quintessential nature of collecting remains the same, but they're always adding on extra strands to it. So you can still collect in the pure way, but you can also look at it in different ways as well. And the amount of card shows that you see up and down the United Kingdom these days is incredible. And I think there's only room for growth as the years go on.
Greg, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. And I get that fever feeling when Sheffield Live is on the air. Hi, I'm Kelly Walker and you're listening to Sheffield Live.
And many thanks to Greg Langsdowne on Panini stickers from M&S. Now, if you want to join me on Commuters Live, we are looking for presenters. So if you want to get involved with us on doing a show with me, or if you want to work behind the scenes in producing news stories for Commuters Live, you can get in touch with us at chrisandellie89@gmail.com. We also have our Facebook page at Commuters Live. And we also have our very own Sheffield Live webpage. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, you can get in touch with us by chrisandellie89@gmail.com, or you can look on our Facebook page at Comms Live, and we also have our very own Sheffield Live webpage. And also, if you want to listen to some classic golden songs, you can get The Golden Years on Wednesdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. That is run by Kevin Resley. So if you want to listen to some great tracks from the 60s, 70s, all the way upwards to today's music, you can listen to Kevin Resley's show at The Golden Years, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesdays. And right now we're going to go on to our next big thing from Audi, which is Razan and Ragid, the joint winners of Audi's Next Big Thing, are going to talk about their product and also their life-changing experience on Audi's Next Big Thing. Here is the Syrian cheesemakers from Audi's Next Big Thing. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Commuters Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. Chris and Ellie here, and we have Audi's Next Big Thing contestants and winners, Ragid and Razan. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
I've got to say to you, a huge congratulations for being joint winners on the third episode of Audi's Next Big Thing.
Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
So, I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get to watch the programme, unfortunately. And so I am so sorry about that. But tell us a bit about the programme. I mean, what was it like? What's the experience like for you?
So basically, this programme was really a good turning point. It's something making like platform between small businesses and going to or giving a go with a big size or how to scale up. So basically, just to clarify, it's one deal what we have win with Aldi. So because like supplying a big supermarket like Aldi for long term, it requires a lot of investment and big scaling up. And definitely this is can't happen in few months. So what is achievable is supplying them with a small, like one big deal. It's big for us. It's definitely still small for them, for their size, but it's very big for our size. So as we were five people working, now we are between 17 to 18 person working on this project. We had to employ a lot of people, but again, put some investment, but reasonable amount. But it's like introducing you to, if you want to scale up, what is required to do it. And there's a potential. It's a very encouragement to go to this stage, to be honest.
It sounds very much like Dragon's Den in a way, but on Channel 4.
It is, definitely.
It is, and somehow, yes, it is.
It's to find someone who believes in you, believe in your product, like what you are doing, and seeing the potential. It's not easy, to be honest.
And I've got to say, the managing director also broke protocol, because there was supposed to be one winner, but she broke protocol and announced two winners instead, because she couldn't choose between your product and which is James Baylor Smith's of Narnia's Vineyard, which is the wine itself. So, I mean, it must be quite a shock for you.
Yes, indeed, and no, because really what I want to say is that most of the product that participated, to be honest, were good, fantastic. It's for us, it's something new for us to see everything, to see around what is our people, how the others are thinking and what other people are doing. So it's not easy. It's hard to decide which item, which product will win.
So, I mean, tell us a bit about the product that you made for Audi's Next Big Dream. Tell us a bit about that.
So basically, our product we call it Hello Me Rolls. It's something wrapping up our experience in food manufacturing and during our 9 years in the business in making similar to halloumi cheese. We call it the squeaky cheese. So basically, me and Ragid, we studied at Sheffield Hallam University. We've done food manufacturing technology. And this is broadened our knowledge and made it really more professional, more academic. And we start to look at things from different angles. When you start a business, you feel your product is like your baby. It's something attached to you personally. Mm-hmm. And you think about it in more emotional way. But when you go into manufacturing side, you need to be aware about the branding, about the trend, what's going in the market, what is the gap in the market, make some analysis. And then think about how to attract the customer and how to work it on bigger scale. So this project actually enabled us to create this product out of a massive problem when we had the economical problem in the UK. Mm-hmm. Milk prices went up, the halloumi market went down, and we start to struggle a little bit. We start to increase the efficiency in our production. So Ragid made a production line. He created halloumi production line, all fabricated in the UK.
Yeah, so it was the first halloumi production line made in the UK, fabricated in the UK, because we want to get rid of the manual, the fully extensive manual artisan way of producing. Mm. So it was the need for something like that. And this line, now we are using it for making the squeaky cheese. Beside that, even though you always have some pieces of cheeses that is from the sides are not in good in shape or weight, so we thought about turning it into a new product, which is the Hello Me Rolls.
So we are using our whey protein, which we are like, because we scaled up our halloumi production line, then that produced more like a product, we prefer to use more sustainable way to increase our growing the business, and we don't like food waste. Whey protein is one of the main product which all dairy industry always suffering from, and we thought at the same time, to be honest, it's very tasty. It's amazing and delicious. We used to give it for free sometimes at some points, just because we can't, it's a food, it's protein. At the same time here, where we start to think, why not to mix it together? So we mixed the halloumi with the whey protein, and we created this product when we wrapped it up with a phyllo pastry. So we added value to our existing product, and we invented this product.
And I mean, saying your product of Hello Mario's, I mean, a limited selection was on the shelves on the 17th of April, which is straight after the day after the show. I mean, that must be amazing.
Yes. To be honest, it was a big challenge. we had to work it out. Like within 4 weeks, we had to produce around 80,000 rolls, employing another 10 people. And
make implementing system of production so you can immediately make start making and increase the efficiencies day by after day until we manage to supply quarter of the order just in short time.
Yeah, now we are still making more and more. We call it like we call it as me rolls with a Yorkshire accent. So
me rolls.
Me rolls. We love this. This
way. And we have so many lovely response from people. They buy it and they send us pictures. I bought it. I found it.
Yeah,
here. I found
last
it.
One.
So we are enjoying talking to people about where have you found it, which area, which place, etc. Which
and
branch?
We've got some disappointed people. They say, "Oh, I went there. That happened next to me. I was in one of Aldi's." When finally I managed to see it on the shelves, and the children, they've been shouting, "Hey, we found my mom's rolls!" And then at the same time, I've seen two customers. They say, "I want to buy it." Then the other one, "No, I want. I came first."
I've seen it before.
There would be more, but sorry for that. Who bought at the end the packet? I asked them, "Would you mind just make?" I would like to hold it and take a photo with it because I don't have any more. So I borrowed the box from the customer to be able to take a photo. And that was really nice.
Yes.
The children went crazy with it. Yeah.
I mean, I've got to, you know what now? You're making me want to go to Aldi's now and see.
Please do.
Yeah.
You will love it.
Hopefully, if any place being sold out, definitely there will be more. But the idea now, we are collecting the rest of the order to go in one go. So we will announce when it will be back on the shelves, if any of the stores being sold out as well.
And I've got a couple more questions to ask you. But for our listeners at home who are thinking about going on to Aldi's next big thing for their product, what advice would you give to them?
Okay, so like this is now a really important thing. You need to think about your product, not only from term, it's tasty, it's unique. Because behind any product on supermarket shelves, there are a lot of due diligence. You need to think about the safety, the traceability, at least a very basic system you have from documentation. You understand how to scale it up a little bit. You don't really, like, it's wrong to put a massive investment in one go for one deal, definitely. But think, if you think you will be able to scale it up a little bit, if you think you are you can have some efficiency, or you've got the system of traceability, go for it. Because Aldi been very supportive. They provided us with food consultant advisor who came, and we've done around 6 to 7 auditing, and each time we looked at where is the problem, where is the gap, and we tried to fill it out. So they are very supportive, and this program I would really thanks for Aldi, because they don't really need to support small businesses. They are not governmental sect, but they've done it really, really good. They gave us the chance to put our names and to give our word between people's hands. So this is really good opportunity.
Yes. Yes. But they need to know that they are producing their product in safe way. Because when you go to supermarket, you don't know where and who is going to buy your product. It could be pregnant. It could be a child. It could be elderly, vulnerable people. Anybody can buy your product. So it has to be safe in the first place.
And by the way, Aldi really concerned a lot about quality.
Yes.
They don't compromise the quality, so they are very tricky in getting the right product with the same ingredients. They don't like really to cheat it or lowering the quality. That was really, really clear with the dealing with them. So it's a very important point.
Very good experience for us. Yeah. It is very good experience for us. And very good to know them.
And again, I've got to say a huge congratulations for being joint winners. And my final question for you is, because I like to say, give you the final word, is what would you like to say to our listeners who are currently listening right now?
I will say immediately, try it.
Yeah.
Go, please, and try it. And remember that there are loads of people behind this role. This Hello Me role, there are loads of efforts, loads of techniques, loads of maybe, and also a few families are living from this role you are buying.
Yeah, we are creating jobs. We are, our farmer is happy. We are turning things back into the community. It's not our success. It's the teamwork success. People who worked with us during very hard time on very good manners. We turned into a big family in a short period of time, and we make it with our love. We make each piece being made by hands. It's to be delivered to you. And we always, when we were working, I always kept telling the staff, you should be proud because we are feeding the nation. This is not an easy job. Looked after small details because this is how we like to represent ourselves. We wish the good for everyone. We wish the happiness for everyone.
Razan, Ragid, thank you very much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Why not join us for the Susie
and Sheridan
Show
on Sheffield?
Why not join us for
the Susie
and Sheridan
Show on Sheffield
Live Radio
93.2
FM
every Thursday
1 till 2 in the afternoon from the Steel City within the Seven Hills?
The Susie
and Sheridan
Show.
That was Razan and Ragid from Aldi's Next Big Thing. Many thanks to them. And if you want to watch Razan and Ragid's journey on Aldi's Next Big Thing, you can catch it up on the Channel 4 player and it's the full series is there available right now. So we're going to play a classic Sheffield band now, and we have Def Leppard. This is Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Walk this way, you and me, babe. Hey, hey! Can I be your man? Hey, 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 hey.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
So that was a classic Sheffield band, Def Leppard, Pour Some Sugar on Me. Now, if you want to get involved with us at Commuters Live, we are looking for some volunteers to help join me on Commuters Live. If you want to join me in the studio and do a live show with me, more than welcome. If not, if it's not your thing and you want to either do the news stories or find some news stories for us that we can report on, we are looking for some more volunteers. So if you want to get involved with us, you can get in touch with me at christinelli89@gmail.com. We also have our very own Facebook page at Commuters Live. And we also have our very own Sheffield Live webpage. Again, if you want to get in touch, you can get in touch with me at christinelli89@gmail.com. We also have our very own webpage at Sheffield Live. And we also have our very own Facebook page at Commuters Live. Now, we're going to play a song from Elton John. We're going to play Victim of Love.
Always make it last, and the sound is so real that I fell into your love trap line. Yes, I was the perfect fool. I believed every word, and it never occurred to you. Is this a game? Are you just playing? Will I be losing you?
Victim of love, well I hope you'll say
Yeah, this is the poet Benjamin Zephaniah coming down your radio wire, and you are listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM, my friend.
Another classic song from Elton John, that was Victim of Love. Now we're going to play our next song, we're going to play Daft Punk featuring Pharrell Williams and Get Lucky. Here it is.
I feel love. Legend of the Phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning? The force from the beginning.
Night to get
up all night to get lucky. We're 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 up all night to get lucky.
This is Jeff Wayne, and you're listening to Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM.
So, that was Daft Punk featuring Pharrell Williams, hence a slightly different version at the beginning. Sorry about that, folks, but that's live radio, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we're going to play our last song because we're coming near to the end of the show. We've got Mick Jagger featuring Lenny Kravitz, God Gave Me Everything.
You can hear it in your lover's eyes. senseless. But don't you ever run away.